Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 261. I'm still not used to doing this show with one headphone on edition. That sounds really creepy to me, even like, you know, 5 or 6 shows into it, or 10 shows, whatever. I don't know. I keep going back and forth. Sometimes I have 2 on, sometimes I have 1. But that has no bearing on what we're doing here, does it? Joining me this week, as always, is John.
Yo, it is Thirsty Thursday. I wish I had something more interesting to drink than this ice water that I'm currently drinking. I had a little bit of lemon Italian soda a few minutes ago, but I can't drink it all because my wife would like to also have some.
Yeah. Yeah, that gets you in a doghouse, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm so feral in that department anymore. I have to think about it. Have I gotten in trouble for that? Yeah, it's me, so most likely, at some point in time. That's just living with people, though. Obviously, the ramifications are worse when it's girlfriend or wife, but that's just living with people, if you share stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I really want the last of that iced tea, but fuck, there's 3 other people in the house. Nobody wants to be the dick that takes the last of it, is essentially what it comes down to.
No.
And I've lived with roommates where, like, iced tea or the last beer or something sat there for, like, 2 days because nobody wants to take the last one. It's a great social science experiment, sociology experiment.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to cut back on drinking a lot of beer. During this past spring, I really enjoyed trying a lot of new different beers and stuff that kind of I would go to the beer store, the liquor store, and peruse and buy things, you know, during the week, not just on the weekends. And it's only because it's showing up around my midsection more so than anything else. So yeah, here I am drinking water this week.
I used to have a no drinking at home policy, like. That's the lamest thing in the world, and tons of people do it, and there's not a damn thing wrong with it, but I just always felt weird about it. Now I'm kind of up to when I feel like a beer on Friday or Saturday and I have nothing to do work-wise Sunday or, you know, Saturday or Sunday, I'll do it. But the byproduct of that is I have to watch what you're talking about, because I don't drink soda anymore at all. No. I drink iced tea. Occasionally, I drink coffee, which I'm drinking a fine cup of, I don't know, it's an Nantucket blend or something. It was whatever was closest in the K-Pod drawer. I'm not super picky. AJK is always in, especially since he's in Britain. Oh, I'm drinking this. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Has it got caffeine in it? Good. Because it'll keep humanity happy with me, or at least tolerating me if it's got caffeine in it. But anyway, but that's the one byproduct. Like, I drink a little more beer now, and then I have to think about it. Look, dumbass, you gave up Coke and lost a few pounds, or, you know, gave up sodas and lost a few pounds. Beer does the same thing, idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I got a treadmill now in the next room, so I can just torture myself longer on the treadmill. I'm thinking about putting my PS2 in there. On my treadmill, like hook it up so I can play my PS2. So if I don't show up, like, for a week and you don't see anything on my Facebook page, like one of my family members going, the moron shot himself across the room and his head went through the wall and he's in the hospital, you'll know that maybe hooking up a game console. I know plenty of people that game while they do treadmill. I just don't know if I'm that I don't know if I'm coordinated enough anymore to do it. Also joining us this week, before he potentially runs off for 3 weeks because he's a young man and got better things to do than this shit, it's Glacinator.
Hello.
Like that intro?
Yes. you're getting sleepy Glacinator today.
Man,
a long day at work and it's hot.
Yeah, it's gotten hot here again in the span of a week. It was really nice last week when we recorded. It's hot balls again this week.
When I walk back into my room, it's like a strip club. I'm telling you, it just... 2 seconds, it's off.
So what, are you down to Nut Huggers, or do you even know what that term means?
Yes. Okay. I'm not, though.
Okay.
Not that bad.
It wouldn't be unheard of amongst this crew, or Agent K and Quiglin. John's the only one that's had to suffer for that whole pantsless thing, so I'm good with it.
Another reason not to live stream.
I don't think, unless
you're into that,
I don't think I've heard of that on PC, but man, did the PS4 Twitch app become PornTube for like a couple 3 weeks there?
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
And I thought at the time, Sony, it's humanity. How did you not see that coming? it's like, I think because there's so many options to do that kind of stuff on PC, including Skype, I don't think you'd see much of it on Twitch. I held chat roulette.
Yeah.
It's not popular anymore, I don't think, but it still exists, I'm sure. I don't know, let's find out. We're going to have to figure out some other kind of segue, or otherwise our first topic is it's going to be ugly. Yeah, I was up till midnight last night, and I'm actually surprised. The first I put in chat roulette, the first Google search return is dirty chat or dirty roulette chat cams. Dirtyroulette.com. That's the paid for ad. I will not be clicking that while we're on the show. Mostly because there's probably going to be 37 pop-up ads for something else. Oh yeah, there's not only is there the original chat roulette, but there's like 27 imitators just in the first page that I'm looking at. Yeah, that heat and humidity zaps it out of you. I hated that. Be feeling dead by lunchtime. And it's got to be pretty bad because you live there. So, you've lived there a long time.
I went to bed at 7 o'clock yesterday.
7?
Yep.
Oh, dude, if it's really hot and humid and sticky, I totally understand what he's talking about. There were times... In Alabama, I'd come home from work 3 or 4 o'clock, have a beer, like literally a beer or two, eat dinner real quick, and be in bed like 6:30 or 7. It's just a beat. I'm tired.
What gets me is that I can't wear shorts to work.
Oh,
I understand why it's not like okay to just have my legs be able to breathe.
What are you doing?
Like women can wear skirts to work,
and
like
they wear a skirt.
Or a kilt.
We're a kilt.
Same thing.
Not Scottish enough.
Sorry, my Scottish friends. It's the same fucking thing. Oh, you guys missed it. You've heard Agent K's voice, John, possibly in video. Glace, you've heard it in... he's going to be really pissed if he ever listens to this. You've heard him when we played Killing Floor, right?
Yeah.
He's been in the Scottish Highlands for a couple weeks. And I got on Skype with him the other day. He, Quiglin, and I were talking about the thing we're working on together or attempting to get off the ground. But anyway, I'm like, Shrek, nice of you to join us. Oh, fuck. He is full-on Scottish since he's been back in Scotland. It's funny, though, because he was full-on Scottish when we first started chatting, but by the time we were in that call probably 2.5 hours, I think, and within an hour of the call starting, he was back to how you guys normally hear him in videos we do together.
Okay.
It was the same thing for me in Alabama. I'd be at work where the dialect or the drawl was really thick. I'd sound like them when I first come home from work, and then being around my buddy and his girlfriend who didn't ever quite pick up the accent, I'd sound kind of like I do now. I can still pull out the Alabama Southern drawl if I'm really drunk. It might have even made it into a video. I think my drunken Counter-Strike video. I think I go into it there a little bit.
Whenever I go home, and I only live 20 minutes from my hometown, and when I go home and have a few beer with the boys, the Newfoundland accent comes very quickly.
The local slang.
Yeah. Yeah, that the Bay accent is what you call it around here.
I think that's true to a certain extent. And actually, John brings up a great point because it doesn't have to be necessarily a whole other region of the country.
Mm-hmm.
There's slang here, like local cowhick slang, that I didn't ever use when I was in the South or in the East. But as soon as I came home, even for a visit, I picked up again. Kay's favorite one is some bitch. He thinks we all say some bitch. and we don't. I say, I actually, as much as he's nobody's favorite anymore, I actually prefer like the Carlos Mencia style, son of a beach, you know, kind of something like that. Like really, not accented in an offensive way, but like a really drawn out son of a bitch. Mm-hmm. I never say some bitch. He's got me to do it once, and now he just won't let it go. It's like, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with a kid who was so badly wanted to be a cowboy. He said, I reckon, like, every third word. And I'm like, after 2 weeks of it, I'm like, if you say I reckon one more time, I am going to freaking end you. I've just reached my limit. And I say it occasionally. But let's move on to the business of the week. This was a strange week from my perspective. You know, I had some topics, like doing the whole podcast thing. I had some topics I wanted to carry over from last week. And then the first topic we're going to talk about, the news broke about that. And then San Diego Comic-Con. And then if we get time for it, Randy Pitchford, the CEO of Gearbox, has still not learned how to keep his fucking mouth shut. But the first topic we're going to do tonight is, unfortunately, the passing of Mr. Iwata, the CEO of Nintendo. And I'm going to ask you, Glaze, right off the top, or John, if you know it, how do you pronounce his first name? I practiced it, and I still don't think I got it right.
I misspelled it in that picture I sent you, I realized.
Why did you just drop the dime on yourself? I wouldn't have known. I can't say it. I think it's Satoru. Is that?
Satoru Iwata.
Yeah, I know how to say
John Iwata. Yeah.
I say Iowata. That's just dumb-ass American. But, yeah, Satoru Iwata. Like I told you guys, a little inside baseball, there had been some rumblings. And not just the rumor stuff that went on at E3. There had been some rumblings that had more weight to them in my mind that I was seeing over the evil social medias. But I was caught off guard by this. And it's a sad thing that as I don't even want to say Nintendo fan, because that conjures up images of idiots like Shower Legend. Just as somebody who didn't have the Nintendo experience, I was a PC gamer, you know, outside of like bits here and there from my cousin. He was such an amazing and innovative person throughout his entire life, that all the tributes I saw last week, both video and text, and I actually sat down and watched quite a few of them. I don't think that there's any way you can encapsulate in any format what he meant to the gaming industry as a whole, even beyond just Nintendo. The thing I saw passed around the most was the business card thing. I'm sure you guys saw that image.
Which one was that?
The one where I'm going to be paraphrasing here. Glaze, maybe you can save me. It basically says it my business card says CEO on it, but it also should say designer and innovator and first and foremost gamer.
Gamer.
It's something he said it at E3 a couple years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say that's also a quote from one of the E3s.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. The only thing I can say, and listen very carefully to this audience that's been along on this ride for 261 episodes, because I don't say shit like this very often. The man was an icon in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
We throw that word around way too much anymore, but the man truly was an iconic figure in the world of video games. Bar none. And it's truly sad that he's no longer with us for even for me as someone who did not have the bulk of my childhood. I'm saying that wrong. Who didn't spend the bulk of my childhood involved with Nintendo products. And it's interesting. This, his passing brings up something that I find interesting in that I generally don't miss or regret things that have passed me by in gamerdom. It's so wide open that you make your own memories. But occasionally, listening to you guys, some of the stuff Pat's talked about, some of the stuff personal friends of mine, you know, like local friends of mine talked about, I get the occasional twinge of jealousy of some of the memories that you guys have gotten from Nintendo, and Mr. Iwata was a humongous reason for that, along in my mind with Miyamoto. And I think it's a very cool thing for you guys. Definitely would never be, snarky or sarcastic about it. I'm at the end of the day still fine with the way my gaming youth went. But it's just a sad, sad thing. Glace, your turn.
I mean, when most people think of Nintendo, they think of Mario. But when you think of like the characterization of like Nintendo as a company, I mean, you think of Miyamoto and Iwata, and that's it. And for any other company, like if you say Sony or Microsoft or Xbox wise, I mean, I don't really have anyone in my head that I jump to, to characterize those gaming systems. But Nintendo has always had those figureheads behind it that, I guess, humanize it in a way. I mean, everyone knows Iwata from the Nintendo Directs and from E3s and stuff. But I mean, even before I started watching E3 or people were broadcasting it, I got Nintendo Powers, and every so often they'd have some sort of, press release from Iwata. That's how I got my Nintendo news, really just my gaming news back then. And then he'd always has there was always interviews with him, at least once every year about what's going on. And even today, like when you get your 3DS and you get your updates, Iwata's me would come show up and he'd look like, "Oh, hello, thank you for buying, I don't know why he's Indian, but thank you for buying, the 3DS. Here's like some games that are coming up," and his little me would walk into your plaza and say stuff. I think they even did the same thing for with the Wii as well. So I mean, they were very extremely involved in the characterization of their products getting out to people. And I really can't think of any other company that does it that well. And I mean, you can say as much as you want about some of their choices that Nintendo has made recently, but they always, the way that they announce things and the way that they present their product has always been extremely well polished and extremely clean. And I think it's things that Sony and Microsoft both strive to be, and that they still haven't reached that yet. The epitome that Nintendo has reached and the way that they show off their products. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
Totally.
yeah.
Question. Isn't Nintendo unique for that, though? That aren't they really the
Who is
only
behind
ones that
it?
could do that?
I
Because
mean,
they did it
it
for
does
so
help that
long.
they're like, they're so involved with their games on their system, in-house wise. So, it's a very personal affair, for Nintendo systems as opposed to, other ones. But yeah, I mean, just the people behind it, you felt certain connections to them, even though if you had never met them before, they were all characters.
John.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, as a figurehead of the company, and that we know who these people are, and their impact not only on game on their own on their own company they're in charge of. I mean, and again, I refer to Iwata and Miyamoto, but Iwata, I mean, all the way he was a young programmer for Nintendo and HAL Laboratory, with the Kirby games. And I didn't, as the tributes come out, there's little factoids I didn't know about, like how Iwata was the programmer of Balloon Fight, the old game from back in the day. And Balloon Fight ended up being the basis for which they did the Mario, how Mario swims in Super Mario Brothers, like how it all transitioned from that game. Just little things like that were. He has his fingers in so many different pots, not only from again, a figurehead or being a face of the company, but right down to the little bits of programming. I read another little bit about how he took a couple of Pokemon games and ported them into Pokemon Stadium while he was the president of HAL or something, and he's very hands-on, his input was very important, and it certainly gives Nintendo, I think, as a company, a bit of cohesion there, that know that there's this hand guiding it along the way. I mean Miyamoto notwithstanding, but also, you know, the two of them together. I mean, Iwata became the president of Nintendo, what, around the GameCube era, so I mean, and he was there working on Nintendo games since Balloon Fight, which would put it about 85 or something. So, I mean, a huge amount of time spent, you know, working with and then as you know, the head of one company. There's definitely, like, again, a cohesiveness to the management style, to the you know, to the company, right? I mean, you mentioned the DS and the Wii. I mean, he was in charge during those massive successes. I mean, they struggled with the GameCube. They, you know, the N64 did okay, but not as well as, you know, the SNES and stuff. But then, you know, I mean the Wii was just at the time, pardon the pun, a revolution in the way people looked at games. And whether or not if it fulfilled all the promises, as we've often talked about, is one thing. But I mean, he was one of those top guys, you know, ushering that in. So it's a big loss to gaming. I mean, and Nintendo, of course, but just gaming in general. You know, as an industry leader and a, you know, face of gaming in general, not just Nintendo.
I mean, there's not that many, you know, people that have been around, you know, developing stuff. I mean, there are, but I mean, we're getting to that point in time where, you know, people are getting up there from, you know, from the people that were there at the beginning of, you know, video games. And mm-hmm. It's kind of weird to think about that.
Yeah, I would put him in the class with, the father of Atari, Nolan Bushnell, Will Wright, Sid Meier. Obviously, those are, you know, more non-brand specific, but he's in that class with the, you know, with the godfathers of gaming, I guess you would call them. You know, he's one of those six or seven guys, and no, not you, Cliffy, not even close. That just, you know, gaming would look vastly different today if you removed him from, if he, you know, if he'd never gone into the profession or to the business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all these stories that are coming out with his involvement programming wise that I had no idea about. I mean, it's just the amount of them is just insane.
See, like, that
before Super Smash Bros. Melee came out, like, it was going to be delayed because of all the bugs, and he was CEO at the time, or was about to be CEO. And he, like, took off from his job to go help the programmers, and he debugged the entire game in a week and then sent it back to them. It's like,
yeah,
he was apparently a master programmer.
Yeah, he said he did the programming very, very early.
Yeah, see, I kind of feel bad because I knew that. I knew a lot of the little tidbits. I just always assumed you guys knew them. So now, in a way, I kind of feel bad that we didn't talk about this before, but it's also one of those things of, what would have been the setting for us to talk about it?
Yeah.
Because programmers interest me. And so if you go and read up on the history of PC programming and that stuff, especially in the early days, a lot of it crosses over.
It's sort of like a complicated topic to talk about.
Oh, God.
So that it makes sense, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like debugging a whole program in a week, or a whole game in a week, or, you know... A debug's not actually the real proper term. Again, there's like 5,000 terms, too, is the other problem. Most of the time when I listen to actual programmers, they just give me a headache and I lose interest. But because it's just really confusing if you haven't been doing it a while. Is an amazing feat. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he CEO once? And then they made another CEO so he could go back to doing stuff like making games, and that didn't work out well, and so they brought him back. Was that Nintendo, or am I thinking of something else?
I'm not sure.
I think there was a time where he wasn't CEO and somebody else was, and then it was just like, this isn't working well. And in a way, honestly, Reggie Miyamoto and Mr. Iwata, it's probably a good thing Sony and Microsoft never tried to duplicate that. They're different companies. I don't think it's duplicatable. I think Nintendo had that real sweet spot and a real great set of personalities and minds to do it with, and you just, you know, that's kind of the way. And again, it was the early thing. What Glaze said is the key. You heard from them in Nintendo Power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, developers and programmers get, and artists and modelers get way more credit these days and are more broadly known because of the internet. You know, I follow probably 24 on Twitter, and I think I even, believe it or not, 1 or 2 on Facebook and a bunch on Google+, because there's more accessibility. But even back in the day, I knew who, you know, Iwata was, along with PC gamers, you know. And as much as people are going to probably sneer at this, you know, even people like Peter Molyneux, back when he hadn't lost his damn mind, back in the Bullfrog days. You know, but there was so much of it that was similar and that they were figuring out that it's just unbelievable. Any final thoughts, guys?
Next E3 will be very weird.
It will be very weird. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even for me. I had to sit here and think about that for a second because I actually hadn't thought about that. I try not to think too far down the road. It's hard enough to keep the next couple weeks in mind. But you are absolutely right, Glacier. And yeah, it'll even be weird for me. Especially because of the way Nintendo does it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Nintendo before, they kind of did what Sony and Microsoft did. You know, there was developers out. There were other people out on the stage. Now it's just basically the bulk of this last E3 was the three of them, either in puppet form or or real, you know, the real guys form. But it's disgusting, but one of the few things that I noticed this week was no snark. The hipsters stayed in their holes. That's a disgusting way of going about it to a point, but that is also a very legitimate way of going, yep, that's iconic. When even the assholes aren't crawling out from under their rocks.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, it's not right. I don't like using that as a determiner, but it is a fair determiner in the way the fucking internet works. You know, I saw nothing but tributes and stuff, and it made me happy. It honestly did, even though it's a sad event, because it does prove that, you know, gamers can show emotion and can be kind of, you know, can be something different than we're used to on a week in, week out basis, which just proves his legacy. I mean, right off the bat, and it's really awesome to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, I didn't, and all the things I read, there were very few, you know, ands, ifs, and buts about his legacy and what he did, and you know, it speaks a lot to the man.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple other determining factors. There's a couple other things I'll be curious to watch in the next few weeks, but I think it's going to remain that way, and that's a good thing. So.
Yeah.
So we good?
We're good.
Yep.
Good as we're capable of. These times you guys don't have any idea how difficult these kinds of segments can be. You know, like earlier this year, I did one for Monty Ohm, and I thought about that back and forth, but I'd seen so much on the guy, and there were things about him, even though I never met him, and you know, he's not he wasn't necessarily a gaming industry figure that inspired me. That's like, no, I got to talk about this. It wouldn't be right if I didn't talk about this. And then obviously, a case like this, you know. I'd be at just complete jerks, you know, to even think about, nope. No matter how hard it may be to do, you know. Because these aren't easy segments, so it's like I said, it's a sad thing, and I'm struggling here because it's just like, okay, we're moving on to another segment. But it's going to be a completely different tone now. So let's do that.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, back to our regular schedule, ranting, sarcasm, and cynicism. I mean, it's just, there's no, you're in a no-win situation. If you want to keep the good vibes, just stop listening now and none of us will be offended, is what I'm saying. So the San Diego Hypercon was in town. I did not pay. I obviously, if you are connected to social media in any way, shape, or form, not seeing anything is impossible. But I paid very little attention. And it's nothing against Comic-Con. It's nothing against these movies that go there and try and stir the fans up, so that then the fans can put pitchforks and torches on layaway on Amazon for when they inevitably get pissed later on. But I just can't be bothered to get my hopes up to only have them smooshed into 1,000 little pieces, which is, it's probably not right on my part. It's probably not something I should be doing. But it did come into town and there were a lot of trailers. That's all we're going to say for the moment. We'll get to the rest, the Paul Harvey, the rest of the story at the end of this bit. But Glacinator, of all the trailers, shaky cam or not, which one was your favorite coming out of Comic-Con and why?
Definitely the Batman one.
And I gotta ask the fucking question, even if I could do the segment for you. I mean, that's the thing. This wouldn't be fun otherwise. But yeah.
You should have taken a wild guess there.
Oh. Here, let me go get a ball peen hammer and hit myself with it a couple times. First off, there'll be several people that'll love that live on air. And second, then maybe it'd be harder for me to guess. Guy who runs around in a Batman suit on occasion. No, it's like pantsless Pat on Connect. That is never going away until the day this show goes off the air. So get used to it. Are you still tempered, though? I think that's, and I'm going to ask you the same question, John. Are you still tempered, though? Because it's Batflack.
I mean, I'm excited, but like in the back of my mind, I'm still aware that this could flop. You know, this is an all or nothing deal. But I mean, based off of that trailer, I mean, it was an entertaining trailer. There was stuff that I wanted to see that I saw.
Right.
It hit a lot of the right points for me. And I mean, it's a trailer, so it's only going to hit, you know, what we think is best. You know, and
Right.
I understand that, you know, this is putting their best face forward, but they might have a terrible butt, you know, behind them. So
I like that analogy.
I mean, I'm prepared for the worst, but I am excited, you know.
How about you, John, on the
Well, I will.
Batman one?
On the Batman one, well, I would have to agree that that's also the one that probably got the most interest out of me, and just because of some of the imagery that they showed in there, and to lead to more fun speculation about what the movie's actually going to be about. I thought it was, I'm right there with Glace. I'm a little bit hesitant to say that I think that the movie's going to be a hit or a flop, but it certainly piqued my interest. And we can get into some of the details about that if you want, but I don't know. That is Batfleck. I don't really care that it's Ben Affleck or not. I think he'll be fine. I don't know if he'll be great, but I think he'll be fine.
It's making me love Keaton more and more by the day. So it's pick your poison, John.
Yeah,
Batfleck's making me
sure.
love Keaton. I actually watched that movie again.
Did you?
I did this week. I've got it on DVD.
Ah.
Hey, I don't give away all the secrets. This is supposed to be entertaining. If I just join in with the fanboy love with you two, what the hell is that gonna do?
Bruce was actually there last weekend in the audience.
God, no. I am so glad I
In
went.
a bat flick costume.
I went.
He was actually the one that filmed the video.
You remember the shoe thrower? No matter what you think of President Bush, you remember the shoe thrower? That's what
Of
would. If
course.
I'd been there, that's what would have happened. I still don't like him. I don't care. I'd have taken off my shoe, would have been a boot. Let's run with the cowboy stereotype gag. Would have been a boot, which would have hurt far worse, and I got better aim than that stupid ass loafer wearing reporter does. even in my dilapidated grandpa state. Yeah, sorry. I might have spent a couple days in LA County Jail, but it would have been so worth it to get a size 12 and a half Rocky boot right between his friggin' bad eyes. Ha! Your utility belt didn't save you from that one. That's what you would have seen on YouTube.
I wonder how many people from Comic-Con do end up in LA County Jail when it goes on. Like, I'd be interested to see that group of people.
That's an interesting statistic, I'd say.
It's not a statistic I'd ever thought I was going to look up, but I'm probably going to before we record next, because it'll take too long to figure it out.
Comic-Con arrests.
I bet that's a site. Comic-Con arrest, like people at Walmart, comicconarrest.com. I bet if it's not a site, it might be before long.
Yeah.
It's just too many people. It's just gotten too No, I don't even want to say it's gotten too Hollywood, although they are infesting it pretty good. It's just, I'm glad I was there in the mid-90s. And that's a very douche hipster thing to say, but it literally comes down to it's just too damn many people, even for me, now. I'm only glad I was there once before it got so super, you know, supernova popular. Although I hesitated there because Supernova is actually a con, but it's also a thing stars do. So I didn't want to confuse people. I don't think Supernova is anywhere near as big. But the only reason I'm glad I was there before it got super popular is not for hipster reasons, just because there weren't as many people there. And it was a cool time. It was a comic convention. But I actually made myself watch the Bat trailer, and I just don't trust them. I still don't trust them. The thing that made me the happiest about that was the fact that outside of Batman, oh, by the way, if you haven't seen it, fuck off on your spoilers. I don't care. It's a fucking trailer.
Trailer.
Oh, no, I saw people bitching at other people already on. Oh, you talked about Batman... I'm rewriting the movie. You talked about Batman ripping the doors off Superman. See? There, it's not a spoiler. Like, that was cool.
Superman fights Batman?
What?
Spoiler.
That's the only damn thing. That was the most...
That's a great voice, sorry.
Do that again.
What?
No, the spoiler thing. Do it again.
Spoiler.
Thank you. That was dead silent. I'm ripping that from my fucking text ringtone. It is going to be my text ringtone.
Superman flies in this one, too?
It's not... I saw somebody...
And Batman has a car. I didn't want to know this. Now I know it. The movie is ruined for centuries.
Somebody in Worm Online yesterday said this one line, and it got me to think of this whole thing. They're like, yeah, I watched the Batman. We were talking in an Alliance chat, so it's like a large group of people. And they're like, yeah, I watched the stupid Batman trailer. Superman's OP needs to be balanced. He was talking about it like it was an MMO game. And I thought, that is the greatest fucking thing anybody's ever uttered. And I can't remember who it was, or I would mention his player name, because it's like, that is such a total MMO gamer attitude to have. Oh, fuck, he's OP, dude. Somebody needs to nerf Superman. This isn't balanced.
Sunlight's too OP, man. Too much hats.
That is the greatest thing. That's where the hype trailers, because that's all it is. Same with the Star Wars one. I'm like, I didn't even watch Star Wars ones. If you guys didn't want to talk about them, great. Didn't watch them. Don't care. I will watch the. I'm going to drag my antisocial hermit ass out to the theater to see Star Wars. Because I've done it since I don't remember of the old ones which ones we went and saw, but I was little, really. Even my grandpa was really little for a lot of those. But I've seen all three of the now it's even doubly hated hipster prequels in theater. So I will see the next Star Wars. I'm probably going to try and see it in the most populated town I can. So if it's absolute shit, I might actually get to visibly witness a nerd riot and film it. Maybe I should do that. Maybe I should go watch it. Like if there's hints it's going to be garbage, maybe I should get my ass down to SF and watch it in a theater there for the Nerd Riot. Then I'll just post it on the website. Like, I was at the Great Nerd Riots in SF of 15.
The city burned for days.
J.J., I've said it once, I'm going to keep fucking saying it till the day the movie comes out. J.J. Abrams had better know what he's fucking doing, that's all I'm going to say. We've torn down geek gods for less. You know?
Yeah.
It's like the statues of Saddam. Those bad boys were towed out by a tank 2 minutes after we killed him. Well,
good thing
after.
LucasArts isn't there anymore.
Huh?
It's a good thing LucasArts isn't there anymore.
Oh, God.
You guys would have a scapegoat.
Well, actually, funnily enough, I was, because when I play Worm, you're doing a lot of stuff where you're just watching a lot of YouTube videos. I was watching Rooster Teeth again. I was catching up on their video podcast, and it's like the only podcast I watch anymore or listen to. They were talking about George Lucas. A lot of the reason he decided to sell the Star Wars franchise is because of the internet, because of just how vile they were to him. And it kind of made sense. I'm not saying he didn't deserve criticism for the prequels. They weren't stellar. But it's gone too fucking far at this point. It's just like same with Big Bang Theory. Every nerd who wants to get street cred or who wants to get views on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, fucking Facebook, they all hate Big Bang and they hate the prequels. And they just drag out the most snarktastic shit because that's what the hive mind wants. You know, and it was a fascinating, I need to look up more. We may talk about Lucas with that again. I need to look up the actual interview, and I couldn't find it, where he was talking about it. Bernie Burns, one of the founder of Rooster Teeth, was talking about it. But it made sense, you know, because Lucas never said anything. He just said, here's some movies, enjoy them. You know, when you do nothing to the fans personally, and then you just vilified.
Oh, I don't know. He put Hayden Christensen in fucking Return of the Jedi. That was a spit in my face. I don't know about you.
Hayden Christensen? He wasn't in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, he is now, sir. He is now.
Oh, fuck if I know.
No, I'm trying to be funny. But.
Oh, well, he's not? Oh, okay.
He is in it. That's not the joke. The joke is just my snarky little tone.
They put him. What release is this? Oh. Huh?
This is all of them now. Aren't they? They're re-releasing the original releases, though.
I'll accept the original releases. Hayden Christensen's ghost is at the end of Return of the Jedi when Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda come out of the woods while Luke is burning the body of Darth Vader.
Wow, I've never actually heard this. This is like the first time I've ever heard this.
Oh, yeah, I've heard the whole original trilogy has been edited. There's CGI scenes and stuff.
I knew that with the whole hand shot first stuff. I knew it had been. I just had not heard the specific Hayden Christensen thing.
Yeah, of all the things that he edited, I think he should have left well enough alone, but. But, I mean, adding in extra characters, making things look more populated, more creatures around, that's one thing. But, like, the Hayden Christensen thing, putting him in there changes, for me, the entire evolution of Darth Vader as a character and motivations and what it meant for that character. I mean, beyond being Anakin, it just throws it all away. But, anyway.
And to say it changes nothing for me. Because my viewing experience wasn't based on a CGI ghost. It's just like why I talk about, and I'm not saying you're wrong, John. You're absolutely right to feel that way. That one kind of actually at least makes sense. It's still the level of hate makes zero sense to me. Because you wouldn't have the damn originals if it wasn't for George Lucas. And there's plenty of copies of the unaltered movies still around.
Oh, certainly.
You see what I'm saying? So, and I'm not talking about you specifically, John. The Hayden Christensen thing,
I know.
That makes sense. Why you and Glace would hate it as what I'd like to call the reasonable portion of the nerd audience. But it just went too far in so many areas where it's like, well, and I also struggle daily with this is his creation. If you don't like what he's doing to it, don't buy it anymore. Thing, that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, where does
it... You have a choice.
Right, exactly. And I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying there's a right or wrong in that. I'm just saying that I have a constant struggle with the creator versus consumer argument that pops up all the time. It's just like I told you about the third prequel. That, for me, as a fan, even with the overacting, did lined up exactly to how I thought, you know, Darth Vader was born. Mm-hmm. How do I put this? Just the sheer agony that he went through, and then he became this, you know, Dark Lord of the Sith. That matched up for me. Adding him as a ghost, yeah, you're kind of stepping on people there. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about it with lots of people. Why thematically the problem I have with that. I mean, it may have been as simple as George said. Yeah, I think it makes more sense that you have that connecting tie between the two trilogies, but it changes so much about the redemption of Anakin Skywalker and you know, to me it indicates that he ceased to exist when he went away in some little pocket of his mind. Anakin did and became Darth Vader, and then as soon as Darth was dead, Anakin came back, and I think that's complete horseshit. But it's just what it implies to me about the character.
When it came back, like he was always the same guy. Like it would have been.
Fuck it. I'll spill it out. I'll spell it out. So to me, Anakin Skywalker, like the story of Darth Vader, for me, when he stops the Emperor from killing Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi and right. sacrifices himself, that is the moment that Darth Vader redeems himself. Like it shows that no matter how far down the dark path you go, how evil you can be, like he spent years killing the rebels and the Jedis, and no matter how far you go, there is a way back. There is a way back to the light, and Anakin Anakin was an old man representing like how he would look, you know, if we'll call Return of the Jedi the present. Like he was still the same man the whole time and redeemed himself, but by having him be young Anakin as a ghost after dying, well, to me that says that Anakin. Good Anakin stopped existing when he became Darth Vader, and something else called Darth Vader took over. And when it died, Anakin was able to come back unchanged, his spirit hasn't changed. His spirit hasn't grown. Nothing was different. Like the whole redeeming. Maybe young Anakin overcame Darth Vader, but he didn't grow. You know what I mean? He didn't change. He didn't show that you can come back. And to me, that's what was the whole, what was so powerful about Darth Vader as a character. Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I just want to make sure John knows this. That makes sense. The young old thing makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to think of how to put this. It makes total sense, and so that I understand it from your perspective. There, that's what I was trying to say.
Right.
So that makes sense. Sorry, Glaze. I just want to make sure John understood, because he took the time to explain it fully. I just want to make sure John understood that I got exactly what bugs him about it.
Yeah, it's not the fact that it's Hayden Christensen the guy. It's just he's young Anakin in that
mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, I like the original because for me it was like they were all people that Luke knew, and they were visions from his perspective. So, like, you don't get young Obi-Wan. You get Obi-Wan that as Luke knew him, you know. Mm-hmm. If Darth Vader is young Darth Vader, why isn't Obi-Wan young, you know, Obi-Wan? Like, why are they the ages that they're at? You know, it's because this is who Luke knew them as, you know. It was old Yoda, you know. It was old Darth Vader as Luke knew him and old Obi-Wan, you know. And they're all projecting onto Luke's force brain, whatever, you know. It's just, it didn't make sense to me that they would pull someone from the past that he would not know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, here's the other problem. I learned this with Blade Runner. where I may have trouble understanding your plight, John. I watched the remastered version of Blade Runner, and I'm like, I'm never doing this again. And so, I think it was Blade Runner. It was one. There was one that's really important to me, and I'm pretty sure it was Blade Runner. There's a handful, but it's the point is I finally realized the version I saw the first time is the only version that exists to me. Fuck the rest of it. And so I just compartmentalize it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I also have trouble sometimes understanding reasonable Star Wars fans and their issues. Because to me, yeah, that other thing that fucked it up for you guys exists, and that sucks. But it's not how I view the world anymore. I have enough to get pissed off about. I don't need to add more to my plate. It's kind of the way I look at it.
Yeah.
It's not saying you guys are wrong for getting pissed off about it. Don't anybody even come fucking close to think that. I know these guys don't. You know, we're all different, but I'm just trying to explain kind of the way I try to view the world. And I just saw it coming even after the Guido thing. I just went, yeah, no. And so there's a lot of remasters, a lot of redone movies that I'm just passing on because it's not worth it to me to have my memories changed by somebody who decided to monkey around with newer technology. I oftentimes wonder if any of us were put in George Lucas's shoes, would the result be any different?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because the technology we have now to make movies like Star Wars, the original trilogy, is so vastly better than what he had to make the original Star Wars that it's just a Pandora's box. It's so hard to resist that temptation to go back and monkey around. Same with Blade Runner. You know, Blade Runner and the original Star Wars to me are two of the best examples of physical props in a movie ever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I can see Lucas's temptation, but yeah, I honestly had, wow, I really see people, how I am able to just sequester myself from shit I don't want to know. I had honestly, guys, never heard the Hayden Christensen thing before. I feel sorry for Hayden Christensen because he's not that bad an actor. He just had shit luck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Liam Neeson has escaped fairly unscathed from the Star Wars stuff, but not poor Hayden Christensen. Well, like, that was the other thing the Rooster Teeth guys talked about. They did an interview with the guy that played the kid Anakin.
Oh, yeah.
He hates Star Wars.
Yeah, I think he got arrested last week, too.
Oh, yeah, you know, I think they actually talked about that.
Was it at Comic-Con?
He was trying to throw shoes at... Oh, and also to wrap up the Star Wars thing, which I didn't expect this to happen, I should have known, because we all have very, very different views on Star Wars. It doesn't mean I excuse Lucas from some of his stupid mistakes, but I kind of understand his mentality of yeah, okay, you're all gonna hate me now. Yeah, fuck it. I'm done with this. You know, Notch was kind of the same way. Not the way Notch went about saying rage quitting kind of pissed me off for a while, but you know, Notch just he'd had enough with mm-hmm. people constantly just you know
berating him.
Yeah, and it's like he got what was it $1.8 billion in the deal because he made a really awesome product.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Deadpool trailer? That's the one I watched.
Yeah, I watched that, and I thought it was pretty good. You know, it seemed like a fresh superhero flick, which is good to see. One thing about the Deadpool trailer is that it made me wonder about Deadpool comics, and so I got my tablet out and I started going through the Marvel Unlimited app, which is like I don't know if I've mentioned this thing before, but it's kind of like the Netflix of Marvel comics, where you can go back and look at all the old issues of for the $10 a month thing and go back and read whatever the hell you want. And there's a fair bit of Deadpool material. So my question for you fellas is, have you guys ever read any Deadpool?
I did for a while. Deadpool to me was more, I was more introduced to him in some of the video games where he was a supporting character. Mm-hmm. And then I read some of the comics and I just loved it. He wasn't the super serious super moralistic superhero.
No, not at all. I mean, he breaks the fourth wall and all that kind of fun stuff. But the my question for you is, like, I started reading the first miniseries, like, from like 90, I want, Christ, was it 93 or 90, so whatever it was, and like, it's not, I didn't peruse much more after that. And it's okay. There's a lot going on with a lot of, which is my problem with the X-Men, all the X-Men and X-Factor and all that kind of jazz, and that there's just too many goddamn mutants running around for me to keep track of. But with that being said, I'm curious if you could tell me, when does Deadpool get really good, and does Deadpool skirt that? I mean, that movie trailer was showed me that it's going to be a pretty hard R-rated movie. Is the comic become like that, or is it like that now, or what's the deal? Do you guys know?
I didn't keep up with it enough to know, but it was you got pretty raunchy, and I think I was in the mid 90s stuff. I don't know, Glace, do you know any more about it than I do? We might not be much help here.
One of my friends in college really liked Deadpool, and I don't think he read any of the older stuff. I think maybe the stuff more around early 2000s, maybe. Mm-hmm. Seems like it would be better. I mean, I don't know what the run is called specifically, but...
Yeah, there's a couple of series. There's an original miniseries, and then there was an ongoing series for a while that I don't know if it ended or if it got restarted back to number one again, like it happens sometimes in comics. But you know, there's plenty of things there for me to read, like, you know, Deadpool and Cable, Deadpool and, you know, different other characters and stuff too, like team ups, and so it's kind of like looking into the deep end of the swimming pool, of the swimming Deadpool, if you pardon the pun. Just trying to know where to start and whether I'm wasting my time going back so far as the original miniseries.
I do recall hearing two things when it comes to comics recently. One with Deadpool specifically is that, like, if he's teamed up with another superhero, they kind of almost treat him like a sidekick sometimes, which may not be for the best reading if you're into Deadpool. And two, somebody said not too long back that... read the newer stuff, and if you like it, then work backwards.
Okay.
If its series is broken up, like when I was reading the Walking Dead comics, obviously I couldn't do that.
No.
That would have made a mess.
Okay, I think what he was reading was the 2013, actually, monthly series.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's pretty recently.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's pretty funny because a lot of people poo-pooed Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. But I thought, if the lines are right, if the writing is right, it doesn't matter who's delivering them. And, well, unless it was Affleck. Got to keep that joke going, too. Or that string of assholeness. But but what I saw, Ryan Reynolds has done an admirable job, at least in the trailer. Does that mean that everything, the rest of the 85 minutes surrounding whatever the trailer was encompassing is going to be garbage? Maybe.
Yeah, it seemed pretty good.
But I'm always drawn to the oddball. You know, at its core, a lot of my problems with comics is the origins of some of these guys and how just, like, Leave It to Beaver moral they are. Obviously, some of Frank Miller's Batman would be something I like, Glaze. You know, the Dark Knight stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I am a Batman fan. Again, for entertainment purposes, it's just fun messing with you guys. But the Deadpool thing, it's just like, I don't know. It's almost internet ready is the way I'd term it. Obviously, he was around before the internet, but that's the one I was really curious about, and I probably will go see that one in theaters as well.
Yeah, and I did you see the Deadpool place before I move on to Suicide Squad?
I did, yeah.
Did you like it?
I mean, I'm not a huge Deadpool fan. I don't really know why. I just feel like it's too over the top for me. But I mean, I'll probably see it. I mean, it looked like a fine trailer for what Deadpool is. I've never read any of the comics really either, so I'm not the best person to ask if I'm super excited for it or not. But I mean, it seemed like a decent trailer.
He,
I mean, I'm surprised it is PG-13, though. I thought this was definitely definitely seemed like an R-rated trailer.
Is that its official rating?
It is PG-13.
Is it really?
Not
wow, yeah. that trailer
is it?
Definitely seems like an R.
That just changed my mind.
Let me look it up.
If it's actually PG-13, that just changed my mind. I won't bother with it. And fucking assholes for doing it.
They say some pretty nasty stuff in that trailer.
If they didn't let that go to an R because it's a comic movie, I'm gonna be pissed. Because that's stupid. You have so many other comics to keep in the, you know, family friendly ish category. Yeah, I got something to say about Suicide Squad, but it's just picking on the internet.
No, okay, no, it is R. It is
Thank,
R.
Yeah, I was
okay,
gonna
that
say
that makes me a little bit. Okay, I feel better about it then.
Yeah. Yeah, Deadpool doing PG-13 is like the Expendables 3 doing PG. It's just ain't gonna.
Well, it's like the new Terminator movie being PG-13. I'm not gonna bother with it at all.
Salvation, the one that Arnie came back for. No, not Salvation, but the one Arnie came.
Genesis or something.
Genesis. Salvation was a bag of dicks. I watched about 10 minutes of it and went, "Oh wow, this franchise is dead."
Yeah.
Can I say something about Suicide Squad before you start talking about it?
Yeah, sure.
Take that, internet. Fucking told you Jared Leto was going to be fine as Joker, you bitches. Now fuck off. Take still shots and, "I think you'll be the Joker, meh." He's fine. Okay, I'm done. I watched that. That's the only three I watched was Batfleck versus Cape Dude, Suicide Squad to see Leto as the Joker, and Deadpool, and the rest of Comic-Con I ignored, and I waited till like a couple days ago to finally watch them all. Mm-hmm. I do have one other thing to say. I'm saying it right now on July 16th, 2015. I will not be shocked at all if Leto ends up creating the best Joker we've ever seen. You can write it down in your calendar that I said that, and I know how dare I, because the dude had the good sense to die 2 days after our movie came out. Hey, I'm saying it, but every fucking buddy else is thinking it at this point. That, and he did a really damn good job as the Joker.
I mean, I would be unsure about that, because this seems more like a supporting cast Joker than a main role.
You are correct.
I'm not saying that won't mean it doesn't mean he won't be good.
Have you seen Dallas Buyers Club?
No, I need to watch it though. It's on my Netflix list.
You need to watch it. I finally watched it because somebody kept bashing on me to watch it, and I am a huge Jared Leto fan now. I knew he was talented, but he blew me away far more than McConaughey did, and McConaughey was damn good in it. So I'm you are correct, Glace. I'm still going to stick by my statement, but you are correct, Glace, in that that he is in more of a supporting role. That is true. All right, sorry, John. We keep derailing you. My bad.
Oh, it's okay. I thought the Suicide Squad trailer was pretty good. It got me a little bit more interested in the movie than I thought it did. But the prevailing thought that I had come after watching it is there's two parts. A, the decision of Warner Brothers to make this like. This, am I wrong? Is this movie coming out before Batman Superman, or is it after?
I don't know. Glacinator is our official looker up of stuff tonight, so you don't have to listen to my noisy keyboard. Glace, why don't you look that up?
If you could check that out for me.
What'd you say?
What's the release date relative to Batman Superman for Suicide Squad? Is it coming out before or after?
All right. Okay. I'm pretty sure that it's coming out. Okay, Suicide Squad is August 5th, 2016. So that's after Batman vs. Superman, which I assume is in May.
Check that as well.
I'm just glad to see this getting made, because this is kind of the B-team
stuff. Yeah, March. It's in March.
Okay, so you know, and that's fine. Okay, that settles one question I had. But the other one is the choice of Warner Brothers to pick Suicide Squad as the next big hopefully their next big vehicle, right? After planting the seeds of Justice League, this is what they're going to do. And you know, it's I think it's an interesting choice. It's fine. I hope it works. It's just like I watched that trailer, and even though it's got Will Smith in it and it's got, you know, a lot of characters, like, I mean, obviously the two characters that jump off that screen the most are Joker and Harley Quinn, right? Like, I don't know what, you know, they jump off that screen so much. I don't know why it's not just the Joker and Harley movie. Like, it really could be, you know, guest starring Batman if they wanted it to be. And I don't know what's going to happen to you know, Killer Croc and Deadshot and all those guys. Like, they're all part of the DCU, and I'm glad to see that they're trying to cultivate that a bit, which is, you know, again, I hope it works. But, you know, just watching the trailer, I'm just waiting for more Harley bits to see how crazy she is. I want more, like, that the payoff at the end with the Joker is it was great, and it made me excited for just to see more Joker stuff. But, you know, if it's an ensemble movie, he's only going to be in it for so much, I assume. I don't know, unless he's like the leader of the pack and he's behind, you know, actually pulling the strings or something, but which is probably the case. But he I don't know why, you know, is the movie just a vehicle to push Harley and Joker, or is it more than that? I don't know how it's going to work, how people are going to keep an interest for 2 hours. And just, like, if the trailer's any indication, they're just waiting for more Harley and Joker scenes.
The only thing that makes me happy about the way they're setting up Joker and Harley is, don't be stupid, DC. If you're going to let Batfleck write and direct a Batman movie, oh, God. Just strap dynamite to my head and light it. Why don't you be less painful? Make it versus Leto's Joker. I don't care if it doesn't live up the Ledger's. It's still going to be damn good. And whoever's playing Harley, and I wasn't fast enough to look it up. Because I think even with Batfleck, I would give it my seal of approval and be really hard-pressed to believe it would not go off well. I think you could put Leto in there with a you know, cardboard box. And obviously I'm fanboying, but I've got, you know, go watch stuff he's been in. And Dallas, start with Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah. I mean actors notwithstanding, like, just as a character and pushing the brand and the DCU, you know, like their strategy in terms of these movies and how they're going to try to make it as cohesive and big as Marvel has had success doing, like, you know, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? I mean, they want to do it. Disney wants to do it with Star Wars, you know, you name it. They want that's the bar, that's the benchmark of how to create a universe of these characters and films. I'm just very, very interested to see. I wish I wasn't a fly on the wall when someone came along and pitched Suicide Squad, and how they sold it and how it would interconnect with the other ones. Do you guys feel that way? Like, is it, or am I just like talking total nerd
well, yeah,
speak,
I mean,
here?
This is basically the setup for the DC universe. I mean, these the two films.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a big deal. going head to head with Marvel on that, and I mean, that basically sets up the game plan for the next, what, potential 10 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I would be very interested in hearing how that got planned out.
I would compare the level of characters in Suicide Squad perhaps more closely to Guardians of the Galaxy before. I mean, obviously that became a runaway hit and stuff, and everyone knows who Rocket Raccoon is now. But before it came out, like, you know, that was the first deviation from the core Avengers group, say, right? And it worked tremendously. And like, will Suicide Squad be the same? I don't know. Like,
see, this is what's funny to me about what you're saying. If Guardians of the Galaxy had flopped, And that was one of the fun things about watching the Rooster Teeth podcast again, watching those some of those guys go, oh, yeah, some of the people in our office say Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be the greatest thing ever, stupid fucking raccoon, just like I did, and then watch it just go fucking ape shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the most wooden man in the WWE as a part of the cast. hey, I'm going to keep taking the cheap shots, might as well. Which isn't really actually a fair shot at Batista either. There's been worse. You know, I think it's kind of taken the pressure off of Suicide Squad a bit because the nerds are more willing to give it a chance. They're not really sure what to think.
Yeah,
so many of them were wrong.
That's a fair point. I mean, Guardians does open the door for more lesser-known characters as long as they're done well.
And just from the trailer, you know, to me, Joker's the most fascinating.
Yes. Yes.
But they're all done well. And yeah, Will Smith's had some stinkers, but Will Smith's a damn good actor.
Yeah, I mean, actors and actresses notwithstanding, like that's not really what I'm getting at. It's the characters and who's relevant? Who were the draws in terms of characters?
Well, I think that's what I think what you're experiencing in terms of confusion is exactly what DC wants. That's what I'm starting to believe. And you're going to actually have to watch the movies to figure out who's going to take the lead, who's going to be supporting, you know, and it may not be Will Smith, even though he's a big time actor. My bet is Joker and Harley.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not willing to put my stamp of approval that's exactly, or, you know, I'm not willing to do what I just did with Leto's performance as Joker, you know. And by the way, if I didn't state it explicitly, I'm also counting for the obvious Batflack versus Joker movie. I'm convinced that's where it's going.
Yeah.
As far as that one goes, the whole DC Universe thing, who else is going to play kind of lead with, you know, Joker and Harley? I don't know. But I think DC's done this to you on purpose, John. You're not nerding out. I totally get everything you're saying. And I think Glaze does too. But I think DC's done this on purpose. Mm-hmm. And maybe because of the Man of Steel didn't do as well as they had hoped, they're doing this to make people actually sit down and watch the movie and then figure out, you know, where they're going from there.
Yeah.
Or conversely, see what people respond to in Suicide Squad and then plan from there.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I think this is all just a setup for the standalone Batman film.
It's gotta be.
Oh, I do too. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Batfleck versus Leto Joker and Margot Robbie Harley Quinn. I finally looked it up.
Yeah.
None of you care who she is, but I still wanted to prove I could look it up. You know, I think that's who's going to take the lead and not just because Joker's been in the front in the past, just because he's that strong a character. Although Bane did a pretty damn good job, you know, they did a pretty good job with Bane in the other Dark Knight movie, but I still like Joker better.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he's an easier character for people that aren't into comic books to get into.
Who, Joker? You know?
Yeah, Joker, yeah.
Yeah, psychopath.
There's no, like, superpowers you have to read up on, you know, what can't he do, you know, what's his origin story, you know, because he doesn't really have an origin story.
He doesn't have one,
a bunch of them, but, I mean, you don't have to know it for him to be scary. So, I mean, I feel like Marvel loses some points just because they don't have a character just that enigma-ish, even though I use the Riddler term for that, but
do you think one of us was going to catch that? I was thinking that. I was. You know, the thing, it's funny you say that, because I've had a couple friends who've asked me, you know, I'm going to go watch The Avengers. What do I need to know? You know, because they think I know comic books. And hey, I'm a nerd, so yeah, I kind of understand that, but I don't know a lot about comics. I just tell them, don't worry about it. Go enjoy a good movie. Go enjoy a good action movie. And that's, in some cases, if it looks like I'm going to have to spend too much time figuring out who's who, I'm just going to go enjoy an action movie and you know, key in on the characters I do like. Like, if I go see Suicide Squad, it's like I'm pretty much going to be waiting for, you know, Joker and Harley and Batfleck, if he's not god-awful. How panicked do you think they're going to be if Cape Guy versus Multimillionaire goes in a crapper with this movie? Do you think they planned for that?
I'd say they'll be cutting their losses pretty quick if it doesn't do if that doesn't do well. I mean, in terms of advertising and everything, just, you know, I mean, it'll be filmed by then. It'll be practically made. I mean, let's get it out there, I guess. Hope that Leto's Joker is enough of a draw, maybe, but I don't know.
Okay, let's move on. We could talk about this for another hour, but there's at least two more things I kind of want to get to. And the first, John, it's interesting because I was actually going to let this one pass by because I've screamed about it enough. But hey, if you want to give me the opportunity to scream about it one more time, I'm going to. You seemed in your message on Facebook to have a small issue with leaks. I'm just going to leave it at that. And let you have the floor, and then I'll hit clean up and
do it. Yeah, my little rant about it kind of comes from that response from Warner Brothers about, you know, like people were comparing the response of Marvel versus Warner for, you know, their special San Diego Comic-Con trailer got leaked to the public and by some shaky cam guy in the audience who filmed it on his iPhone and posted it to YouTube and stuff. And then the response to Marvel was like, oh, whoops, you know, hail Hydra or whatever they said, or damn Hydra. And Warner Brothers gave a bit of a lecture to people and gave them a bit of a tongue lashing about leaking videos, and their intention was to have a special experience for the Comic-Con people, and that they didn't want to have low quality stuff on out there. So we forced the hand, and now we're going to post it in high definition for you, you know. And while the focus seems, you know, a lot of focus seems to be on how childish and polarizing that response is, you know, To me, what got my ire up was that the fact that there's any reaction to people leaking these trailers at all, because they're not leaks. Like, these are just the fact that these are advertising tools that they're using to build hype for their movie. It's like wrestling. It's the biggest work there ever was. I mean, they're acting upset that people got excited about something that they want to see and hopefully spend money on. Like, there's no loss in that. It's completely win-win for someone to post that, and it's probably a hand-picked person from the studio who got to put it up. Like, if it's not the biggest sham. And I'm getting into tinfoil hat territory here, but like, if it's not the biggest work where they've set all this up, I would be more shocked about that than I would be that they're actually legitimately upset that anyone would leak their trailer to hype, again, to hype the very thing that they're there to build hype for. It's just ridiculous that people are, or that there's any kind of reaction, or, like, granted, you know, maybe in some small way there could be a reason why, you know, or the reason given about the wanting to give San Diego Comic-Con a special treat or whatever, that's fine. But to get upset that it gets out, or act upset that it gets out, is just stupid. Just like talking down to the very people that you want to invest in your product, and it's just dumb. It's a hype. It's viral marketing. It's all it is, and it just makes me shake my head so hard.
That shaky cam was so bad that I don't think that one was studio created, because every leak that's come from Star Wars has been like, it should have just had the fucking watermark J.J. Abrams Productions on it. that's not tinfoil helmet. That's just, look what we're doing. You know, it's like either you decide to be in on the joke or you decide not to be. That one I think was legitimately a fan. Here's the problem. Here's the thing. I told you fuckers last year this was going to happen. You remember there was a couple trailers that didn't get out of Comic-Con. They're like, oh, don't show our trailer. You know, this is special for you guys. And it worked one time. This is the internet. People want to feel special. People want to be special for posting stuff.
Yeah, and the people viewing want to get in there and feel like they're getting to see some insider thing they're not supposed to.
Right. And so I think that a lot of that stuff does get leaked by the studio for the very reasons you're talking about, John. But the studios and people in Hollywood are so arrogant that they'll make it too good a quality. That thing was garbage. It was not good. You know, so I'd say that it's less likely that Warner did it. But yeah, talking down to your potential consumer base is just fucking moronic.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, unless you're going to take everybody's cell phone away in this day and age, don't expect that your stuff's going to stay secret. It doesn't happen.
Well, that's my point. There is no secret.
Right, exactly.
Why, stop acting like there's a secret. Like, it's just so dumb. Like, it's to go and, like, even if it was a shitty quality for a leak, let that percolate for a day while people squint and try to figure things out, and then we'll just put it out anyway. Like, there it is, boom. Just as we planned. Like, it's... Ugh.
Well,
they're just mad because someone leaked it before their viral marketing person could leak their video, and they lost out on all their ad revenue on YouTube.
Yeah, which was beautifully shot and actually held the correct way and edited and rendered. And
their fade to black at the end.
Right, exactly.
It's all part of the work. And I'm using a wrestling term there, Glace, work. A work is, maybe you already know what it is, but a work in wrestling is when you pretend you pretend it's real. Like, you're working the crowd. You're making them believe that what you're doing is real.
The guys.
Yeah, the guys. The subterfuge. Is that what it is? I don't know, but...
Yeah, kind of. You know, I consider work subterfuge to a certain extent.
Yeah,
prestige.
Yes, exactly. It's the work and the angle. Oh man,
yeah. I like this. This is a synonym podcast. I like this.
It's a what?
Synonym podcast.
Oh, synonym. I thought you said cynicism podcast. I'm like, what the fuck have the other 260 episodes been?
synonym pod.
Yeah. Hey. I like the word synonym. What the hell was it? I was marveling at. I saw somebody screwing up a word, and everybody knows how I do that on here. I always love the people that pick on the way people speak on podcasts, and then it's like you find out they've never done any kind of public speaking in any kind of format. It's like, yeah, you try it, dickhead. But it was this really hard word. It's like I said it first time correct and everything. I'm like, God damn it, there's never a microphone around when I do shit like that. I tried saying the same word on the podcast. I'd fuck it all up. But, yeah, Warner just needs to buy a clue, period. Because they handled the Batman game, the PC version, horribly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, did you hear the update? They're not going to have anything. They're not going to have an update for that until the end of the year.
Yeah, well, the first leak from good old Kotaku, it was spring.
Spring, yeah.
Kotaku EU, AU, Australia. Australia, do us a favor and kick Kotaku off of your internet. I don't give a fuck. I finally started to feel slightly bad for PC gamers and then turned 180 and was pissed off again. Because the damn game did have memory leaks, so there was issues, like actual performance issues, you know, that matter. But it was literally, I dug all over the internet trying to find shit like that, never saw it in any reports, finally saw it in the reports where they're talking about this thing's not going to be fixed till fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if fucking idiot PC gamers, you'd have had me on your side if you'd have talked about, you know, if every screaming, raging report had actually mentioned memory leaks. Then I'd have been like, yeah, that was fucking stupid. Way to go, Warner. You know, I'd have been on the Horde side. But no, all I heard about was frame rate issues. I can't run it in 4K on my Fisher-Price, my first EP monitor. It's just, I lose interest immediately, you know? Yeah, I just don't know anymore with this leaks bullshit. Like I said, it's just, what a crock. Yeah. And then Warner, Warner and Ubisoft are just quickly overtaking EA as the biggest bunch of dumb shit that have no clue how to do PR. Speaking of stuff like PC gamers and stuff that pissed me off, guys, this is kind of specifically you because I said something about, you know, it's not fucking Twitter's fault that nobody could figure out if Kenny Stabler was dead or not. It was the internet's fault. And I believe that to be true, but I know there's a lot of people who think I cover up for or bias for Twitter. And that is incorrect. It's a platform I like. But when they fuck up or when something's going on it that really pisses me off. And so I wanted to revisit it this week. I may have said this partially on the show before, too, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself a little bit, but I'm going to do it anyway. YouTubers. Younger YouTubers. Twitter has services for you to buy ads. Stop, for the love of fucking God, following me. Then when I follow you back, sending me a pre-generated direct message saying, please follow my YouTube channel. And then anywhere from 10 minutes to a week later, unfollowing me because you had your shill time. That is not how you build a community, you stupid cunts. That is not how you advertise yourself properly. All that does is piss people off. And Twitter, you need to make it so they can't do this so easily. All this pre-generated DM bullshit. I'm going at them personally on my Twitter stream. But Twitter, you have a decent, good service that provides me information so we can do stuff like this so I can keep up to date without having to do as much work as I did pre-Twitter. But fucking hell, you little idiots that think it's all about numbers, all about followers, all about this, I can tell you right now, even as, you know, whatever the success or of this podcast, of my fucking YouTube channel, or lack of success, I don't give a shit. Because you know what? In the five and a half years I've been doing this, I have met and got to know 10 to a dozen cool people, including the two sitting here with me tonight, that make my experience doing all this and my time on Twitter way better than millions and millions of fucking followers and page views and fucking video views ever could. Because I've gotten to know genuinely cool people who put up with my shit. That's not easy to do for anybody. So just fucking stop it. I'm not kidding you guys. 20 minutes, Friday morning, I had 5 little fuckhead YouTubers follow me. And so I just followed them back because I've been kind of playing cool about it. They all sent basically the same pre-generated DM, and within fucking 20 minutes, they all unfollowed me. And I never subscribed to their YouTube channels, by the way. I just stopped fucking doing it. I will basically send anybody now that has a YouTube or Twitch account that follows me a message saying, look, if you're just going to unfollow me, do it now, because I'm not fucking subscribing to your channel. End of story. So, trust me, as much as I like Twitter, it pisses me off at times. I'm not going to just sit there and defend it. It is part of the problem, but it's part of the internet, which is part of the problem. Also, Glace, specifically to you, did you see that the bloodletting at Reddit continues?
Oh, yes.
Do you know that she's the woman that tried to sue the other tech company for sexual discrimination and lost?
Mm-hmm.
Think she sues Reddit for anything?
I think she dropped it like a Todd, honestly.
You think she said, the fucking inmates are running the asylum, I don't want any more of this?
Yeah. There was a lot of really nasty stuff. I mean, as you would think from Reddit. Was circulating around. And I mean, I wouldn't want to deal with that. I mean, after losing a previous suit, I wouldn't want to have to do another suit and then have to deal with all these angry online people. So I think she's over and done with.
Do you think it was more her quitting than them firing her?
I think it was mutual.
they said, hey, maybe you should just go because things are not going well. And she's like, hell yeah, give me a decent severance package. I'm fucking out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's not going to fix anything.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not going to fix a fucking thing. There's going to be another suit with the title CEO, and you're not going to get what you want, Reddit users. You know, I just saw that and went, I knew it was going to happen. That's what sucks about being cynical and being sarcastic and being very jaded, and then it comes to pass so often. When we talked about it last week, I'm just like, I bet there's a 75% chance she's gone. Did you guys see the Randy Pitchford thing at all?
No.
Oh, God. We're not even going to touch it. It's much like bashing on Randy Pitchford. He just basically tried to say that people are going to hate our games just to be hating on them. And basically, at least we had an effect on those people, even if they're haters. But he was using Aliens versus Colonial Marines as his example game. And trying to convince people that the haters just hated the game to be hating on it. Oh, and because the furor of that, if that wasn't bad enough, him opening mouth and inserting foot and then blocking like 14 zillion people on Twitter afterwards because they dared to disagree with him, they're apparently working on another Duke Nukem game. So, there's a happy way to end the show.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Duke Nukem thing again.
Oh, are we?
Well, no. When there's more details on what they're working on, because he just talked about it in this interview at some convention or muckety muck meeting, and it got overshadowed by the fact that he decided to take on the haters of Aliens, Colonial Marines, and this, that, and the other thing. They're still being sued over it. That's how bad that game was. I think they might have actually just wiggled out of the last lawsuit, leaving it in Sega's lap to deal with. But, yeah, I know. I tell you what, John, I'll make this commitment to you. Unless it looks like there's something interesting to talk about, we'll probably just mention that it is for 100% sure there's another Duke Nukem game being made. Here's the details for you. And just leave it at that. Any other thoughts, gentlemen, on anything we talked about tonight before we get out of here? Otherwise, I'm going to do the thing and get out.
I'm good.
Me Glaze. Too. Yes, I'm good too.
Cool. If you'd like to get in touch with us to tell us things about anything we talked about tonight, there's a ton of ways you can do that. First off is our Facebook. It's WonderPod Online. WonderPod Online. Shoot us a friend request and we will accept it, unless you're an obvious bot. We have a website. It's basically just a mausoleum for the podcast at this point. It's wonderpodonline.com. Wonderpodonline.com. The other cool thing to know about our website is that when I post the podcast there, I post it with an embedded player. So if you want to listen to it on a browser, as some people do, you can do that. If you want to download the damn thing, and you somehow magically got this some other way, that's the thing that's always throwing me about this embed. We're on iTunes. Just subscribe, rate us, hate us, whatever. Just search WonderPod in iTunes. If you don't like iTunes, we're archive.org. You can search WonderPod there, and that also contains our entire catalog. Probably close to 280 things that WonderPod has done, or WonderPodOnline.com. We have some YouTube channels. My YouTube channel, Bruce McGee. Glacinator's got a YouTube channel, the 36 Wii YouTube channel. The Olivia Made This YouTube channel, our good friend, our other good friend, What Chris Does, Chris Lloyd. We got a Twitter account. It's at WonderPod Online. At WonderPod Online. None of that does it for you. We got an email address. It's wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. wonderpod@wonderpodonline.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter if you're not a YouTuber or Twitch streamer. I didn't think about that with the rant I did earlier. At ORIGIM. Or you can follow John on Twitter.
At John Kehoe, JONKEHOE.
So episode 262, which is going to be a little bit different. I have a plan for these guys. I'm out of here. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.
Tired Glacinator has a bigger delay.